Welcome aboard, everybody. Get them on side for another week post-Origin. And now we start to turn towards... We're into the back corner of Flemington, Chiquita Lodge, as we... What are you doing,
keep,
Joel?
Keep padding. Something's going
so
on.
So, look, I'm under siege here. My wife is at a phone shop as we record, and she's desperately driving me mad.
Joel Kane, Sean Ormerod, good morning
bloody
to you.
Thing through. So I'm under the pump from you. I'm under the pump from Mrs. Kane.
You've had a massive week on the punt. A great week.
Great week.
Right? You got a lot of Origin love. And here you come, huffing and puffing and cranky. Mm. I mean, you hogged Alex Volkanovski, who will join us a little bit later. It turned out to be a Joel one-on-one. He was the only one that knew we were recording at 10:30. Sean and I were kept out of the loop. Something's going on here at Sportsbet. Get them on side. There's just a little faction. Yeah. Cam, the producer, and Joel, the quasi-host. Mm. So you continue to just do your little personal business. How are you, gentlemen?
We did have a good weekend on the punt. It was a terrific weekend, wasn't it? Did you find that, the rep round?
Yes, but because I was in Perth from Thursday, which was lovely, I watched a bit of some of the test matches, but I wasn't, because we had a group dinner, and so I kind of missed a little bit of, you know, the joy of it. But I'm disappointed that this is the end of the rep round.
Yeah. Tell us, I'm more interested in this group dinner and how that played out.
This group dinner seems to have gained a lot of attention. So it was the Triple M crew. Mm. They have the man who runs the show comes up from Melbourne. He's Ewan. He runs Triple M Sport. And he believes in something called Night Zero, which is night one before the test is day one.
Well, that's great.
Night Zero is the sort of bonding session. Well, it was just a very good Chinese meal at a place at Northbridge.
Oh. I love that idea.
Stinks of the corporate credit card.
Doesn't adjust.
Who's in charge of the wine list? Is that your sort of domain? Or
no, I tend to stay away from that. I tend to waste the company's money in other ways. So I let the big dogs know. The company's never paid for a cigar of mine. Well, okay, you want to know. The meal costs $392 for eight people.
That's all right.
That's a fantastic meal.
So the Lazy Susan didn't get that fit.
Not well, it had a fair run.
Yeah.
It had a fair run, but good value for money in Perth.
You're doing
then there was a drinky poo afterwards, Joel.
Yep.
That's the beautiful thing about the Night Origin is that you can, you know, just ease into Sunday.
Sleep it off. Oh.
Sunday. Mm. Look, so you got to get into this, Joel. You're the sort of group leader. You can organise this.
Yeah, we will
SEN.
Do that.
SEN at Brisbane. I can imagine you and Jimmy Smith and Vossi. Brandy's busy.
Ask and you shall receive, Dan.
Okay.
Shall receive.
Fine. Jeez, you're a bit cranky for who's coming off a great week on the punt.
He's huffing and puffing. I'm worried about
below.
That beanie. Now, for those we need to mention, we are wearing beanies. For those watching us on KO, YouTube, wherever else, beanie for brain cancer around. Sportsbet behind it again for the sixth year in a row.
Yes.
We're aiming for about 60 tries this weekend, $1,000 a try. That should tip us over $400,000 raised since we joined forces. So they're doing amazing work down there. Again, we're happy to be involved. Well done. So we just want to sit back. You want to be back in the overs this weekend.
Yeah. Did we enjoy Origin? I know you enjoyed the punting aspect of it, but very quickly, because we have to move on to other topics. Mm. It was loud at Perth. I don't know how it came through. And it felt a lot faster than the first game in Sydney.
I found the start of the game a little bit flat. I think both teams weren't probably at their best. New South Wales looked a little bit cagey, obviously knew they had to win. But when they clicked into gear, they more than clicked into gear. But how did you find the first half didn't really have that Origin hot start, so that maybe the atmosphere made it feel a little bit hotter. It didn't really come through the
oval?
TV like that.
Look, of oval grounds, that's the best of them.
Yep.
Because it's built up. So you don't feel that far away and the noise is held in. But just, I hate rugby league at ovals. Mm. It's just
the
not
watering
the
of the lines didn't help. They were slipping over all the time, weren't they?
It was
The pitch was in all sorts.
The weather in Perth was magnificent. Yeah. It was a bit chilly. Sunday was the warmest day, about 23, 24. But, I mean, it would have been 18, 19, the 3 or 4 days. Not a drop of rain.
No. Mm.
How did it get? How was it so dropped up?
They were trying to water down the AFL lines. That's what caused the issue.
AFL. Anyway, let's now let Joel take the new ball. He's got the red cherry. He's walked back to the side screen because he's going to take a long run up here. This is our big topic of the day.
There's a big, big loophole in this game of rugby league. And you know what? I'm surprised that clubs aren't better factoring in for it. Now, here's the example. Now, last year, how on earth can Tevita Pangai Jr. end up at the Penrith Panthers? You know why? Because towards the end of the year, they've got $100,000, $200,000 in their cap. If he's to play grand final day, you've paid $100,000, $200,000 to have whatever you value him at, $500,000, $600,000, $700,000, $800,000 player in your team. It is the greatest little loophole in the game. He wasn't even going to stay there for next year. So for me, if you're running a club, you purposely leave $100,000, $200,000 there. Mm. And hypothetically, the longer you leave it, the better player you can have represent you on grand final day. So they have got it right where they are putting a notional value on the player because they're not there for the full year. But where they're tripping themselves over, you also have to put the pro rata amount on what's in your cap. So, for example, if you've got $150,000 in your salary cap and you're two-thirds throughout the year, then all of a sudden your salary cap is only worth $50,000 left because we've already got through two-thirds of the year. It is so obvious and, again, stupid things in the game. It is ridiculous that Mark Gasnier comes back in 2010 for the Dragons. It's ridiculous in 2020 that Sonny Bill Williams comes back for the Roosters. Tevita Pangai Jr. last year. And this is pushed back to August. We can still see players like Lodge who fictitiously will find themselves in a grand final. It is stupid. It is completely stupid. So that is an easy fix.
You're thoughts? Only saying that, Joel. I think you're right. But you're only saying it because they're going to good teams.
No, yep. But it's only going to apply to good teams.
I understand.
You'd only bother spending the money
that.
If you're a bloody good team.
But if West Tigers bought Matt Lodge for the same price, same notional value, you wouldn't say boo.
It's a non-event. It's a moot point because they can't make the finals, right?
So you're discriminating against the good teams. You're saying the rule's okay.
No, it's a moot point. It doesn't matter for the West Tigers. If they did it, they're stupid for burning money.
Joel, don't hit me. Secondly, you're right. I would cut it off at some point. When I say cut it off, I would cut the notional and say, right, you get half of the notional value at worst.
If
it was up to me, I would say once round one is kicked off, no one could move clubs within a season. That's me. And that wouldn't fly.
But basic math, if you are on the cap and you let go Ronald Volkman, who hasn't played a first grade game, and they let another kid who hasn't played a first grade game, they may combine for 300. How on earth can you end up with a player whose market value is between 600,000 and 800,000?
I understand.
It is so easily fixed. Anyway, that's my
say. The same for everyone, though. So if all the top teams can do it, then doesn't it just cancel each other?
So have we got a salary cap? We haven't, because on grand final
we do. But it's still getting calculated.
Yeah. Mm. So then one of two things is stupid. The game or for other clubs not doing it. Parramatta, you would purposely at the start of the year leave 150 to 200 or release a player who's never looked like playing first grade, and then all of a sudden you've got a tilted $800,000 player for grand final day. It's stupid.
What business are we in?
Entertainment business.
Optic business. Sure.
The
narrative of the optic doesn't really look that good, where you've got potentially players going to a team that's second on the ladder, a key player has just gone down. All right, let's pinch Cameron Munster.
But mathematically, right, the Knights could actually say, listen, we can't make the finals. We want to save $200,000. Okay, Melbourne Storm, do you want Kalen Ponga for 5 weeks? Yeah.
Dealing in hypotheticals now. So I know.
But we do have a cut-off for June 30. Do we bring the cut-off forward, say, to May 31 or April 30.
My point is that
I get what you're saying.
Fair dinkum, you need to pro rata how deep you are into the season alongside what you're currently doing. Otherwise, it's just a rort.
Hang on. So they are pro ratering. That's the problem.
Yes, but you're not pro ratering the season. So if you've got 100,000 left in the cap,
see.
We're two-thirds in it. You shouldn't get the whole 100 still.
Well, we're not two-thirds into the season. We're less because we're only, 15, we're only halfway through the season, really. 15 rounds of a 25 rounds? 29-week comp. Mm. So really we're only halfway through the comp. I agree with that aspect. And in fact, if they did it that way,
he wouldn't be eligible.
He wouldn't be. So therefore, I'd cut it off at the halfway point and say, at worst, you can get half of the bloke's notional value.
Yes, and half of what your cap
agree.
Is.
Okay, we agree.
Yes.
We agree.
I think we all agree.
Thank you. Why are we arguing then if we're agreeing?
Hey, let me get the Optus shop update. We're okay for time being.
Okay, let's now shoot a deer. Sean Ormerod says he is ready to go with a Bambi. So let's fire up and load up the gun.
And this one is a little bit of a retro Bambi. So we've got to cast our minds back to game one of State of Origin here. When I was at the stadium, I didn't see in game two if this actually occurred, but it did pique my interest again. When the national anthem was getting played in game one, the three referees, Ashley Klein and his two cronies, actually linked arms.
Oh, no.
I could see Ashley Klein flexing his muscles and he brought his boys in nice and tight. Lads, you link arms. The players link arms because they're about to take the first hit up the State of Origin. They're about to kill someone. They're about to knock someone's head off. They're not about to blow. They're not about to blow a whistle and potentially put a flag up. Okay, so... linking arms? No, not for the referees, for the players, please.
You wonder why refereeing ranks in the kids' game is going down. It's people like Ormerod just absolutely taking a mallet to referees. A bit of bonding, a bit of...
No.
Okay, what's worse, that or the warm-ups down the hill? That's the most egregious. When they take the warm-up, when they go as close to the hill, the angriest fans you can get.
I wouldn't do it.
And do their calisthenics.
I would not do it. There was no way in the world I'd do it.
Poor refs. Joel Kane, have you got a little Bambi for us?
No, I haven't got a Bambi.
Just his whole morning's been one big Bambi.
No, he did well with Matt Lodge. I'll let him off with that one. Mm. And he also carried the load on this a few moments ago. Obviously without the knowledge of Ormerod or Ganae. So this is how it happens, ladies and gentlemen. Is how it happens. It used to be my podcast with Peter Sterling, and then Kane came in.
Who is that?
Then Ormerod came in. Yeah. That's right. The faux leader of the show, Joel Kane, caught up with Alex Volkanovsky, our great UFC man.
Now we're joined by the UFC featherweight champion of the world. Not often do you get to do that. And the great Alexander Volkanovsky, the great, is there live in Las Vegas. How are you, Alex?
I'm very well, mate. Very well. How are you?
Mate, outstanding, but we'll get better. Now set the scene. You're there in a little pocket in Vegas. How's the build-up been? Where exactly are you?
We're actually got this big joint. I've got this big property with like 20 rooms, 30 beds, with a whole crew of us, you know, all the guys that obviously were from Freestyle Fighting Gym, guys from City Kickboxing, and our physios and all the coaches. And we're not too far off the strip, but, you know, we've got our own pool, basketball court, mate. You know, we are just soaking it up. It's good to be here, all feeling good, enough for my good energy, and ready to do work this weekend.
I tried asparagus once, didn't like it, but I gave it a go. I gave it the benefit of the doubt. I went back the second time, awful again. Holloway has been to the world twice. Why on earth would he want to go back for a third time?
Man, we're all competitors, right? We're, you know, that competitive instinct. You know, he wants to try and get that belt back. If I was in his position, I'd be exactly the same. You know, I mean, that's just how it is, you know. And that's why he was stubborn and made sure no one was taking that number one contender spot from him, so he could get a third chance. The only reason why he's getting it, you know what I mean? So, you know, he's sort of lucky to be in a position he is. But at the same time, he still earned it. There's no one else. He showed he's the number one contender, and he's the next guy, so he gets another chance. But hey, like you said, you know, if it tastes bad the first two times, I think it's going to taste bad the third time too. You know, nothing's going to change.
Exactly right, Maxie. I'm not having asparagus for the third time. It's not going to taste good. I know that much. Now, if you win this featherweight champion of the world, you remain. Now, there's talk around you going up to the lightweight division. Is that the case?
Yeah, man, that's something I definitely want to do. I've talked about it a few times. I've never really called for it, but I'm starting to call for it. I think that's next. You know what I mean? I'll go out and take a Max for a third time. You know, that puts me in a good position to start asking for stuff. And you know, Dana White, the president of UFC, has said it himself. You know, like he goes, mate, if he wants that, he can get it. You know what I mean? Like he's putting himself in a position he can do whatever he wants. You know what I mean? So... yeah, keeping busy and doing what I'm doing and taking out the guys I'm taking out, you know, puts me in a good position not only to look after my family and legacy and all that type of stuff, but, you know, I can call for things, you know what I mean? Puts me in a good position to see what I want and then give me what I want as well, you know what I mean? I'm not a greedy man, but I want another shiny belt.
Well, we're greedy back home here. Now, we happen to be recording this just next door to the shiny new toy, the Sydney Football Stadium, when it goes back up. Is there any chance we can have the great Alexander Volkanovski fight locally here at one of these big, great stadiums?
Oh, man, I think that's, yeah, definitely. That's something that what I want. And as I just said, you know, when I go out and do what I plan on doing this week, I feel like I can call the shots. So, you know, that's something I'm definitely going to call for. I want to defend that belt, or I want to fight for a belt, whatever it's a lightweight title, whatever it is. I want to do that in Australia, and sell out a stadium, arena, whatever it is. But a stadium would be credible, and that's something that I would probably ask for as well.
Well, Georgie Kambosos had it, and you'd have exactly the same thing. It'd be great scenes here in Australia. But you mentioned the plan. Now, what is the plan? How do you see yourself winning this fight? Does it go the journey? Is it a points decision again? Do you knock him out in a particular round? How does it play out, Alex?
Man, it's a tough one. You know, I've said this before in a lot of my other fights with him, that, you know, I'm going to finish him. And I just said that because I knew that's what people would know. I always knew that he's durable. And he's hard to finish. He's got a granite chin that he's known for. He's known for this chin. Mm. So for me to just say I'm going to finish him, you'd be sort of foolish to say it. But he does take too much damage. I've touched on that. He's took a lot of damage in his last fights as well. And that chin can't hold up forever. And where I'm at right now, not only skill-wise, everything, my headspace, all that type of stuff, what I'm going to capitalize on them opportunities, because I'm going to find that chin. I'm going to find a heart. And let's see if that chin holds up. If it holds up, that gritted chin would be legendary and people still be talking about it. If not, I finish it. Because I'm telling you one thing, I can promise you I'm finding that chin and I'm going to find it regularly and I'm going to find it hard.
Yeah,
so, let's see if it holds up.
I think what the listeners really want to know, Alex, is what round will you find this chin in? That's what we need to know here.
I'm finding it every round. And now I'm finding it every round, and it's up to you guys to see if his chin holds up.
Beautiful.
So put it this way, I'm finding them.
Beautiful.
We landed big on it. It's up to you guys to get what round. But again, he has showed that he's durable. We both showed that we're durable. We both showed that, you know, we're obviously high-level fighters with high fight IQ. So, you know, to say that you're just going to finish someone easily would be silly to say that, for him to say that and for me to say that. But it definitely has a potential of being finished and a fight of the night contender.
Big card, Adesanya on the same card. How do we expect him to go?
Man, I think he's just going to be too much, man. Izzy's on a whole other level. I've got respect for Cannonier, but I mean, Izzy's going to go do his thing. You know, I'm repping his shirt right now, you know what I mean? I'm looking forward to being on the same card as him, you know what I mean? This is huge for our region, you know what I mean? So, you know, you'll probably never see something like this ever again. So it's a pretty incredible. Well, we haven't seen it yet, you know what I mean? So this is going to be the first time you'll see two champions from our side of the world fighting on the same card, co-main and main event. It's incredible, and we're both going to be doing a good showing. And, you know, I know Izzy will be finishing the night with a bang.
Awesome.
I'll start the finish with a bang.
Yeah.
And then he'll finish it with a real bang as well.
Bang, bang. Love that. Before we let you go, the great Warilla Gorilla was involved in the Blues camp. You'd be very pleased to see that we got the win in game two. Did you get to see the game?
I didn't, because I was over here in America, so it would have been like probably 3 in the morning or something like that. So I wasn't able to stay up for it. But it was funny because I know you'll probably see it on the embedded tomorrow. I was wearing this maroon shirt, maroon shoes.
Oh.
On Saturday, I was going to take it to the fight. And then I remembered it was Sunday in Australia, State of Origin Day. I was wearing it. I was like, that's it. I'm taking it off. Because there's no way I was wearing maroons on the State of Origin Day. So, it was, I missed it, but I mean, obviously, I as soon as I woke up, got on the social media and seen what happened and seen that the Blues dominated.
What was that experience like being part of that crew? What did you do with the team?
Oh, man, it's been incredible. We've done a couple of weeks at City Kickboxing as well, so the energy was good then. You know, that's why we went there as well, obviously, for the training partners and, Obviously, the high-level training and things like that. But, I mean, just to feel that energy, you know, that team camaraderie and, you know, what we're going to feel fight week, what we're going to feel fight night. So it's been incredible, man. And even going and seeing him, there's four of us that are fighting this week. So he's already fought. That's one. Brad Riddell's going to make it two. I'm going to make it three. He's going to make it four. It's going to be a clean sweep. So I cannot wait to celebrate after that as well.
I love that. Final question to celebrate. Last time you were over there, you celebrated, you went to the Las Vegas Raiders. Up on the big screen, you had the belt there. It was great scenes. What's the plan of attack? You win this one. Is there somewhere you're going?
Oh, man, there's nothing big on at the moment. Like when we're talking about no stadiums to go to, I don't think there's any big sporting events. But, I mean, it is International Fight Week over here. It's the 4th of July, a couple of days after as well. So there'll be plenty happening. We're going to soak up everything, soak up the wins, because we're here for a few days. Everyone's here for a few days. So we've got a big joint here, so we'll be celebrating here. 4th of July, I'd say. Soaking up the strip straight after the fight. We'll see what's in store. But, I mean, we've got an after-party planned, so we're going to enjoy our victories and enjoy ourselves and probably come home with a hangover, but it'll be well worth it.
Okay, next time we have the chat, it won't be before the fight, it'll be at the after-party. That's what we really need to see. But Alexander the Great, Volkanovski, big fight coming up, Max Holloway. Max, I'm telling you now, the asparagus will not taste any better for the third attempt. Go well, Alex. We appreciate your time here.
All right. I appreciate you guys. Thank you.
All the best. There he goes. The clean sweep. Izzy's going to go bang. Alex is going to go bang. The great Australian. Let's get him back here. How good would that be? More to come. Looking forward to this on the other side of this.
Hey, mate.
Yeah, mate.
Same game multi for tonight. Thoughts on Panthers to win 13 plus?
Well, probably not. There's a few injuries this week.
Well, we're going back. Cheers, see ya.
See ya.
Make it look easy with Sportsbet same game multi. More markets and bigger odds with Sportsbet.
Let's get to some games, shall we? Full round and normal schedule. We start on Thursday night. Manly versus Storm, their second meeting in pretty quick fire time. Melbourne won a pretty ordinary game a few weeks ago, 28 points to 8. They were hardly troubled. They're warm favourites at Brookie, $1.37 to $3.10. Although, Sean Omerod, I see the line has come in. It was 9.5 before the teams were named. I see the teams are named. I know Felice Kaufusi is out for family issues, but it's coming to 7.5.
Yeah, so I think the opening line was a little each way bet regarding Cameron Munster's availability. Now, apparently he left Optus Stadium in a sling on Sunday night.
Yeah.
Was seen in Brisbane Airport without a sling, but apparently went for scans. I'd be shocked if he wasn't 105% fit that Melbourne Storm would risk him here. Yeah. Shortish back up. They've obviously got a big run in to finals coming up. So I'd suspect, and the market's sort of telling us that, 9.5 into 7.5. So we'd think Munster's going to drop out. Pappenhausen is named on a extended team list.
Mm-hmm.
I think he would come in.
Of course he will.
Which makes it a much better looking Storm side. But with no Munster, and that I'm tipping here with Munster not playing, I've just got to be justly in the way of the Manly side here at home. You know I'm sick for a home underdog. And there's no reason for me to get around it again.
Yeah, I found this really hard. They've won the last six, the Melbourne Storm against Manly, but I've done exactly the same as you, Sean. I'm banking on Pap being back.
Yep,
he missed last time for COVID, so there's no reason why he won't play.
So Meaney goes to six, we think.
Does he go to six, Meaney?
Is that I haven't given that much thought, potentially.
Yeah. But
he's done it before.
By the way, Pap's playing, Munster's not, as we record. That's what we think. Oh, dear. I'll go the Storm, but it's bang on. The line's exactly right. If you want a try scorer, Justin Olam, he has scored 9 tries in 5 games against the Manly side, and he's going to love taking on Harper.
I noticed that. You're all over him. I like Jerome Hughes for an anytime try scorer, 335, especially now that Munster's not going to be there. So I'm far more confident about Melbourne. Manly, 0-7 this year against top 8 teams. And Melbourne, what about this for a stat? Versus teams out of the 8, 31 of their last 32 they've won. The one they lost was around 2020 game when they rested all their blokes against St George and Illawarra. They don't lose these games. Now, Their task is to win by eight or more. I think they can still comfortably do that. Manly, I'm not sold on, and I reckon that loss to the Cowboys was a real heartbreaker. Ugh. Even though it was 2 weeks ago now. So I've got Melbourne. Who have you got against the? You've got Manly against.
I've got Manly.
Okay, let's go to Friday night, 6 o'clock, Newcastle versus Gold Coast. I'm looking forward to heading up the M1 for this game. Well, because it finishes at eight.
Touch of sarcasm there.
No. I haven't been to Newcastle all year, so I love Newcastle.
Bossy,
hey,
get the train up there.
No. I bet he did that in an afternoon game. I'm not getting the train at 8:30 at night.
Yeah. Take your life.
I'm not that big much of a tough guy. Exactly. Knights have lost 10 of their last 12. They've lost their last 5 home games. Geez, you'd be filthy if you're a Knights fan and you've gone to all their games, because the last 5 games at home, they've scored 4 tries.
Oh.
You haven't had many chances to cheer. Gold Coast, similarly, just as bad. 5 straight losses. 0-7 away and 1-3 when they're up at half time. I think this has Gold Coast, Newcastle, half time, full time potential. $1.80, $85.95. Joel hasn't learned to cough away from the microphone. I know, but you've got to just
cover it. Right, I'll play them.
You've got to, but you've been, thank you. We're just playing pick 'em here. So straight up pick 'em. Yep. The start is very even. So we here are just picking a winner. I'm picking Newcastle, Sean Ormerod.
Again, I don't know what the crystal ball is doing down in the NRL when they're selecting these 5 Friday night, 6 p.m. games, but time and time again, they are finding the perfect slot for the most horrible game of the weekend. This is such a low game. No Ponga. Gold Coast.
Tex Hoy, the fullback.
Gold Coast have been so bad this year. It's almost beyond words. Haven't won a game on the road, I don't think. And Justin Holbrook just keeps on rolling out the same 13, 17 week after week after week. Now, what's that saying about the definition of insanity? Yep. It's exactly what he's doing. Even without Kalyn Ponga, I've got to be on Newcastle here.
Titans for me.
Dave Fifita back.
He scored 4 tries last year against them.
Okay.
Both for more, like what he's doing. Brimson's probably the best player in the backs on the field there. No confidence, but Knights are pat. Ponga's a massive out, huge out. The try assist he's come up against with Canberra, Queensland in recent times, massive out. I've got to be the Titans.
By the way, we've been having some success. It's been a tough year for us, really, but we've had some success with what you blokes call the Ric Flairs.
Yes.
So what's your one for this game? Have you got this game, Joel?
I've got the first 2 games, yeah. So Olam, anytime try scorer in the first game, and Fifita, anytime try scorer in this particular game.
Okay.
So here you go. Bradman Best noted there at $2.60, not in the 17,
yeah,
but probably plays.
I know it's not my pick here, but if you want a bit of Ric Flair from here, I'd be circling the draw or something in this one. These are 2 teams that...
Oh, jeez.
Honestly, the 2 teams that I'd... struggling to see where they're going to get points from. This could be a pretty dour affair.
And whoever's winning is going to be going, oh!
And there's not notable field goal kickers. Well, I suppose we've got the MILF there. He's kicked a few before. But hey,
you're a step off saying a nil all draw the way you're going. Match of the night. Penn, about one more time. Newcastle, me. Gold Coast, you.
Newcastle.
Right. Penrith and the Roosters, the Panthers. Who would have thought we'd see a line like this? $1.15, $5.50. In the last few years, to think the Roosters would be giving up with a full-strength team, or close to, 15.5 start against anybody. Penrith, 14-1 is the best record since the 95 Manly Seagulls after 15 games. They beat the Roosters, if you remember, very comfortably. Oh, in fact, pretty competitive early, yeah, but they were never really troubled in terms of the result. Roosters gave as good as they got early, but 32-12 was the final score. Roosters, as you boys are intimating, they've got to get going. They've lost their last 3. They've lost their last 5 against Penrith. Victor Radley is back, though. Joel, you kick us off here.
Radley, no surprise to be back. I'm going Penrith. They beat them earlier in the year by 20 at the SCG, last year at home by 26. So this is just a juggernaut that keeps on going.
Unbelievable. You go to the casualty ward tab on NRL.com for Penrith.
There's nothing.
Blank, nothing to see.
Yeah, the only team.
It is incredible. The run that they've had with injuries, and some might call it luck. You need a lot of luck on your side, but they're obviously doing something down there to condition their players because they just don't get injured. We've seen it probably 3 years in a row now. Their injury list has been outstanding. Yeah.
It's going to happen Friday. That's three blokes are going to get hurt on Friday. Can we wait and see?
Clip that one up.
Is there a risk of arrest or no?
I don't think so. With it being, I know it's a Friday night game, but the Origin on Sunday, I think it's enough. Unless they need one, I don't think they're doing it just for the sake of it.
So Yo, I could see resting. Actually, no, he didn't play 80 minutes either. No. See, Yo's an 80-minute player. He didn't play 80 minutes on Sunday. I know it's a different intensity. Same with Liam Martin. Appy Coruscant, he'll definitely play if he's not injured because he only played, 32 minutes. Cleary, obviously, Luai. And they might go in. They might all play. Yeah. I would think, Joel, it'd be the game after Origin 3, they will all get rested.
Possibly. Is there any concern for us that basically all bar Dylan Edwards featured in Rep Round, the emotion of Rep Round, is it a collective come down? Is that any sort of concern?
I don't think so.
It's a fair question, but not for this unit. I got Penrith against the line. Gee, it's a lot of line, though.
Yeah, I'm the same.
Yeah, so do I. And the big one's Luke Keary. I think there's a lot more going on than probably we're being led to believe with Luke Keary's situation, which I hope not. I love him as a player, but with him out again due to that concussion concern, I don't think 15 asks.
Don't you just hate giving that sort of start away to that back five, Tedesco, Tupu, Marnus?
Doesn't feel right.
I've got the flair bet and big rain expected in Sydney from Friday. So I've gone the alternative match points under 34.5. So $2.97 there. I just can't see the Roosters scoring more than 12 at best against this awesome Penrith defence. And, well, I think the Roosters have got enough pride to hold Penrith back for a little while here. So I just think there's value there, 34.5. I could see Penrith keeping them to nil, to be honest.
No, I'm reversing.
Oh, look. Right.
Yeah, I'm giving Robinson one more go here for this team. He's a gun coach.
He's your mate.
The back five is elite, and it's a big start. I'm on the Roosters.
Okay. There you go. All right. We go to Saturday afternoon, and in Ormerod world, this is the match of the round. Canterbury versus Cronulla. Now, why is this a CommBank? Seriously, Saturday afternoon. I get the attraction of the Tigers on the Sunday afternoon. Saturday afternoon, you're trying to get... This is a Belmore game. Come on, Canterbury. Anyway, the last two games, the Dogs 70-16, and they won against the Sharks last year. Quite famous. That was at Cogra. That was a big day for Trent Barrett. Sharks, better record in daytime than nighttime, but they have not played a good game since probably the Warriors when they won 11-13. They just keep winning games. Like last game against the Gold Coast, that was a shocking game. They won, but Fifita back for the Sharks. Two pretty full-strength sides from what I see here. So the line, 8.5.
Further your point, Dan, their last six games have been against bottom eight teams. They've only won four of them, and their collective aggregate for and against is only 2.7 a game. So they're scrapping by these teams. I'm going to be the Bulldogs. We don't need to ask this bloke. You just got to bark.
I'm actually really disappointed in the weather forecast because I had 13-plus circled as my Ric Flair bet.
Canterbury?
Yes, Canterby.
Oh, fair dinkum. You're worse than him in the Tigers.
No, the Sharks are the Sharks are paddling big time. Now, the halves combo, Nicho Hynes at the start of the year was amazing. Everyone was declaring him for all sorts, and he was thereabouts at Origin level as well. But he's going no good at all.
Summer too?
Potentially, yeah. The halves combo of him and Moylan has been found out a little bit the last probably month or so they've played. His kicking in general play has been alarmingly disappointing for your halfback. And his goal kicking as well, really battling. So you've got a fair bit on your side. And the Bulldogs, they're playing... They've just unshackled themselves.
Just go down to Shark Park one day. Just take the day off this.
I brought up kicking, didn't I? Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, just go down and help him.
No comment.
So, no, it's not really flair of the full Ricardo variety, but Bulldogs head-to-head is how I'm playing this. Weather might just keep it nice and close, and that you're getting above $3 at the moment. $3.10 for the Bulldogs. Yes, please.
Okay. Which way are you going, Joel? You're going Canterbury as well?
Yeah. I hope I'm wrong on this.
I'm going Cronulla, but with no confidence. In fact, I don't listen to anything I say about this game. We go to what I think is the match of the round. The next two, take your pick. North Queensland and Brisbane sold out for weeks at QCB Stadium. $1.50, $2.60. Line, 5.5. Adam Reynolds is back. That's the big one. Cowboys have won 9 of their last 10. They've won their last 4 at home by 19+. And remember, they smashed Brisbane in round 3. A lot of tries off kicks, but they beat them off the park. That was a Sunday afternoon at Suncorp Stadium. Sean, it's 5.5's not enough for me. I think the Cowboys, even though I think they're a little kick happy, and I think they're going to be exposed once we get to the bigger games, I think they might have a bit much for a Brisbane side who I'd be surprised if Payne Haas played.
Yeah, I found this game.
You're not aware he's hurt?
No, we spoke with Freddie during the week on SCN. He was saying that he's expecting him to play. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
But hang on, he was busted after the game.
He is expecting him to play.
Wow.
Yeah, so okay, I'll take that. I wouldn't necessarily rule him out.
I'll take that on board.
Very tricky. Reuben Cotternote is out for the Cowboys. Massive out. Found this game incredibly hard. I make it a little
Leilua
closer.
Is playing,
Luch,
by the way.
The big Luch is fronting up for the Cowboys on the bench, I believe. It'd be good to see him actually try and play football for once now that he's at the place that he wants to be.
That's a good Bambi.
Retro Bambi.
That's a fact. That's what it is, not a Bambi. I've just got the small concern is around the two key players, Adam Reynolds, Payne Haas, both carrying injuries. Reynolds just seems to get injured every game he plays and doesn't look 100%. That just might be him. Just leading the way of the Broncos. I think it could be a pretty tight game. Old school derby.
Very important game, this, because this is the King of Queensland. The winner of this game just might go very deep in this competition. The loser might start to get the parachute out. So this is a very, very important game. You mentioned last time, 38 points to 12. Those two tries, and that was at Suncorp. Those two tries, both Herbie, who's not playing.
Yes.
It was a penalty try. And it was the luckiest bounce you've ever seen that landed on his lap late in the game. Cowboys have to be on them.
The form of Cowboys is so much better. They beat Melbourne 36-6. They beat Parramatta 35-4. There's probably only three...
No Jerome Hughes from Melbourne. Parramatta in Darwin.
Get out.
He's laying the Cowboys.
I know. I understand. No, I'm saying... And Penrith... Sean, you were the one that said that was a great 22-0 loss. Remember they lost to Penrith and you said, wow, they were gutsy.
Wow.
Brisbane, who's Brisbane beaten? Let me go through the Canberra. Okay, that was a good win because their bench was empty. Gold Coast, Newcastle, Manly Magic Round was a good win.
They don't have to beat them, though.
South. I understand that, but I'm saying Cronulla, Canterbury, and South haven't been flying. Canterbury and South again. The form of these two teams is not even close. I'm taking Cowboys and I'm taking Murray Taulagi for a double at $5.60. Cowboys left side with the gunslinger. Just firing a couple of bullets.
That's it.
To Taulagi. There's your markets there for two or more. So,
Taulagi for those listening, $5.60. Hamiso Tabuai-Vaidoa, is he in the Billy pitcher? He's in the squad. Like, he's in the greater squad for Billy for game 3. Does he make his way into the team?
For who? For Taulagi.
Well, mate, Gagai's missed 17 tackles.
Yeah, but you watch, they won't dump Gagai.
They won't. I totally agree.
You know what?
There's Bambi.
Hamstring injury the week. If they're going to say, we're not going to drop you, but, mate, we're going to say you got a hamstring injury.
Yeah. That's right.
He's too big at Queensland. He's almost legendary status. Anyway, South Parramatta. South 7 wins, 7 losses. Parramatta 9-5. Again, Parramatta $1.54, but I thought Sean would have been a little skinnier than this. The line is only 4.5. I gather there's two reasons it's not skinnier. It's because South have a wonderful head-to-head record against them, and Latrell Mitchell back.
Yeah, more to do with the second point than the first one, I think. Pretty obvious he's a big in, but for the changes that he makes to this South team, it like cannot be understated. Makes everyone better, including one very important player in the team, Cody Walker. He goes up a notch, if not two or three notches, when Latrell's there. That left edge becomes so much more potent, which is his baby. And this is why I'm on South in this game, Latrell back. And I've even taxed him a little bit from probably not being 100%, but I still make them a bet. If he is, you've got a lot of upside there that he is airborne in his return. The big question mark is the rebound of Lachlan Ilias. How does he come back from the hooking a couple of weeks ago now? Big test for him, only young.
Good they had a week off.
Yeah.
Honestly, it probably came at the right time.
Probably good. It's probably out of a lot of people's memories. I've just brought it up again, though.
Well, you're a hateful member of the media.
I'm a bit of a Parramatta hater this year. That's what I am. So I'm against them again. South for me.
Ooh, Joel, interesting comments from Jason Demetrio about Latrell. Not certain he'll get the 80 minutes. Now, if this game is tight, I cannot see him pulling Latrell Mitchell out of the game. But just take that into consideration.
Why would you throw him on a plane, get all the way over there and bring him back at fullback? He has to play centre. I can't believe they haven't gone with Taff at fullback and Latrell at centre. I'd do that for a month just to get him back. And he's a natural centre anyway. I can't believe they've done that. In saying that, I'm with the Bunnies as well. Junior Paulo's a big chance of not playing. I'm very keen. And the record. So their last four games, South have won. Their lowest score, South versus Parramatta, is 38 points.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I understand. Yes, I'm rubber stamping that.
Yeah, you meant the talk.
Hey,
you just meant.
I thought you were going to continue.
No.
I thought you were going to continue. I didn't realise
Jackson Paulo, he's played them three times. Has not.
You gave me Wally eyes then.
Yes, he has not missed. He had five tries in three games. That'll be my bet. But who's got the Ric Flair?
I've got the Ricardo.
Well, hang on. Can I have a tip, please?
Host mode, then.
You're right. Well, it's not the quasi.
Oh, you want to speak
anymore.
Now? Okay.
South. Don't you start. Don't you glom onto him.
Glom.
South versus the top eight, 1-8, 1-5. I'll say this though, Mitchell and Walker, when they're together, 25 wins, 7 losses. So it's a very handy record there. You can use that.
I will.
As well.
Plagiarise.
Yeah, that's fine. In saying all that, Parramatta easy. Parramatta easy for
really?
Me. But I hope I'm wrong because I'm doing the game and I hope it's a thriller.
Mm.
Go on.
Yeah, now I've got the Ric Flair and I'm actually going against sort of what my bet is in this game, but it's all I could really find of a bit of value. The right edge of South is a huge concern for me. And there's one bloke who can really find a gap in it. It's Mike Aceva, and at about $8 or $8.75, funky price, but whatever. That's big enough for me to have a little throw at the stumps on Big Micah.
Okay. I'll tell you what, Johnston's not bad value, Joel, in that now you got Latrell enhancing that left side attack. Pretty tasty.
First try score at 9.25.
And also, Parramatta have scored the first try just 4 times all year and have not scored a first try for 7 straight games.
Oh, is that right?
Great stat.
Yeah, but that's going to end soon. Well, they're a gun team, so they might be chanting Micah's name at a core stadium. Sunday afternoon, Warriors home. First time since August 30, 2019. And you couldn't have handpicked a better opponent to go home against because you want to get a win. Warriors against the Tigers, $1.55, $2.45. Don't you dare tip the Tigers.
No, you couldn't have picked a better opponent. But if this gets wrong...
Oh, yeah. And it could very well get wrong. I mean, the Warriors are 4-11. Tigers are 3-11. So they're peas in a pod. James Roberts is in for the Tigers. And Stefano Uteikamanu as well. They've lost 6 of their last 7. Warriors have lost their last 7. They've conceded 22 in their last 3. The only real form line, they beat the Tigers in round 3 in an absolutely appalling game.
They shouldn't have.
-3.5. How much is that crowd going to play into this game? It is a sellout, Sean, at Mount Smart.
This will be the most Warriors ever performance. The most Warriors thing here is to lose.
Of all time.
This could be of all time.
Yeah.
They'll never
all
be
the fame Warriors stuff.
There'll never be a bigger crowd there. There'll never be a better atmosphere. They were walking down the streets. There were ceremonies to welcome them back. There was all sorts of stuff going on. This is the exact game where they let you down and let you down big time. Having said that, this is not a game for ratings and what you think about one team or the other. If you tip against West here, you're a miserable bastard.
Right? Tip against the Warriors.
Sorry, against the Warriors here. Yeah. You have to be with them on their homecoming. And I'm going to be with them in a big way in this one.
Wow.
Ricardo Flair, 19+, $5.10. You don't want to be on them head-to-head. You don't want to be on them.
Right, it's big cities.
You don't want to be back in -3.5 at $1.80 or what it is. You need to go for a big number and a big price. Because if it does go for them, they could really have some fun. That's the angle there.
Okay, $5.10. I like that. I like that very much. Joel, the case for the Tigers.
No. Well, this is really hard. My case is to never back the Tigers after last week.
Oh, okay.
And I never take the Warriors when they're on top. So what does a man do here?
He doesn't bet on every game.
But we all will.
We all will.
I honestly don't know. I'm with Sean. I think Warriors will get there. They have not won at home for 2 years and 11 months. And ironically, who scored a double and starred that day? Kenny Mamalo.
Oh, okay. Yeah, very good.
So he returns there as well. But look, good luck, punters. I'll go with the Warriors.
Anyway, let's go to the last game. And this is a good game. Dragons versus Canberra. This is a real top eight battle, this one. 7-7 versus 7-8. It's at Wynn Stadium, but the Raiders are the favourites. They've been in much better... they've been in better form. Well, no, about much better. The Dragons are coming off that win over South. Five of their last seven, the Raiders. Whiten is back. Don't mind him for any time trial scorer. Great starters, as we know. Dragons have won their last five home games. They've quietly built a 7-7 record, Joel Kane. I'll let you start off here. And the team looks pretty consistent with the one that smashed South.
Just reminded of the fact Ben Hunt's in some decent doubt, isn't he? That's a big worry. I forgot all about that. So I'm going to tip the Dragons. They've played seven bottom eight teams. Six of those seven they've won, but they're all 1-12. So they just get in all these gritty fights. I'd be tipping the Dragons 1-12 as far as the Ric Flair is concerned, is why I'm doing that. Dragons, no confidence. Here it is, 1-12 Dragons. $3.40, that's the sort of bet I think I'll be playing it.
Yeah, I'm with the Dragons here as well. I don't like the chat around Ben Hunt. Obviously, that changes everything. He's been in really good form. What is alarming for me is Xavier Savage is named at fullback again for the Raiders.
Now,
Maybe.
Why? Injury?
No.
Defences. He's got a lot of work to do.
There's a reason Nicole Klukstad's in the 17.
I was critical of Sticky at the start of the year for holding him back for so long. Clearly, Ricky knows more than me because it's come to fruition where he needs to work on his game. Ball in hand, unbelievable.
Did you see the Stixie Lee try?
Yes.
Yeah, and it was just...
Yeah, it was not good enough. Yeah. Being very critical, but that's the way it is. So I prefer it if he is playing there. If he's not, I'm still got to be with the Dragons.
The Hammer. Didn't we used to call you the Hammer? Having strident expert comments.
He's always on target, hasn't he?
That's a good one. St. George Illawarra for me, but with no confidence. And again, I think I would rather put my tongue on a battery than bet on this game in terms of head-to-head.
We can make that happen. We've got a few batteries here.
This is a topper. This is a tosser. Although Dragons, first try scorer, have conceded to a fullback or a 5/8 five times. You like these stats I'm bringing today?
I need a copy of that one.
Five times.
What star sign are they?
So Jackie Whiten.
Yeah.
$13 any first try scorer. I like any time try scorer at about $2.70. Oh, here we go. We've got to pump up someone's tyres. Let's look at how we went last week. So these were the Origin best bets. Ganane Holmes, man of the match. Never again while he's in the centres.
It was a price play. He went for the price.
I understand. Yeah. But in the centres, please. We know he's not on Origin centre. No. We didn't see him. Put him on the wing. Sean, a touch unlucky. Tedesco, man of the match. You picked the game right. You just picked the wrong star.
Yeah, wouldn't say unlucky. Clearly,
you weren't.
He had one hell of a game. Yeah. But now I'm going to be accused of sounding like a broken record because I tipped him in game one, tipped him in game two. But I think I found a better bet. Wally Lewis medal, James Tedesco,
totally
$6 right now. Just had to refer to the voting system.
He's got to be man of the match.
Yeah, they do it. No, he doesn't.
Okay.
But you can't have a Munster or Cleary getting it. That's the caveat.
That's what I mean.
At a stretch, I can make him almost the same price as New South Wales to win the game as him to win the Wally Lewis.
Really?
That's how I think $6 is a great price. So
I agree.
Get on now. The way the voting system works, it's perfect.
And well done to you, Matt Burton.
Thank you.
Almost first. Bloody Felice Kaufusi.
Oh.
Never scores a try. Matt Burton.
It was a mile forward.
It was too.
Yeah.
It was too. Well, that's right. I said,
Must have been too much money in the pot, because otherwise it would have been a justice refund.
Might have went for
anyway,
a Hail.
I'm just angry.
He went for a Hail Mary with a WhatsApp message. Surely a justice refund. Yeah.
Mid-call.
Oh, it was crickets, wasn't it?
Mid-call. Of course it was. Yeah. You'll do that for, you know, Vladivostok versus someone when there's $4 in the market. But when there's a big pot, no, we'll just leave that go. But we'll pay Penrith to win the comp after round 11. Anyway, now that I've got that anger out of my system, let's look at this week's best bets. All right, I think we might have intimated a couple of these, but here we go, just to lock it down, and I think we might get a nice juicy price. Joel Kane.
Dragons won the 12, Dan. I am banking on Benny Hunt playing here. $3.40 the price. They've been sneaking home at home.
What's
all
wrong with
the 12?
Hunt?
I don't know, but I know there was
don't know, but I've just heard the chat that he's in doubt. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's me.
Okay. Big game. I reckon if he's close to being fit, they'll want to play him.
Of course.
This is a finals-defining
game.
But
he's got a Dally M he can win too in his head, so he'll want to play.
Don't mind that.
Sean Ormerod's best bet, please.
Suitable Sunday afternoon game for him. So he's going to get every chance to get through the weekend and play. No shocks here. Canberra Bulldogs +8.5. I'll be back him at the line, back him at the win. If it's sunny when I wake up early on Saturday morning to do my gym session as I do.
Aren't the clothes getting a little tight? isn't the confidence returning?
Yeah. I'll be backing.
Well, that's an industry top that is dead set a medium when he was wearing large not that long ago. He's very proud.
Stretched down
and
the bottom from a previous body. No, doggy. All jokes aside, dogs +8.
Okay, and I said, I don't know how this is going to work. This is going to bump up the price significantly, but I'm happy for your Dragons to win 1-12 just as long as my man Jack Whiten scores at $2.70. So that's going to fatten, and that should blow the same game multi out. And
yeah.
So there you go. That
yet to go, 3 from 3.
Yeah, we're going to hit one of these.
Been close.
I'm starting to think we should have best bets like this because we are going to hit. So we want to hit it at a price.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Anyway, that's it. That was fun. That was enjoyable. We got the anger out. Cathartic session.
Some of us did.
For us. And don't forget, yeah, when you're at the footy, please buy one. I know, listen, you probably already have one because you did this last year, but just buy another one.
And yeah, actually, here's a Bambi. You can't be wearing last year's Bambi.
That's a terrific
go
one.
Go and buy a new one. I saw someone marching down the street with last year's one. Yeah. No, I'm sorry. Go and buy a new one.
Hang on. I wore one. Okay. So as of this week, you cannot wear last year's. Because, hang on, 2 weeks ago I wore one.
That's fair.
As soon as this goes on sale.
That's right.
Which has probably been a month, maybe.
Oh, no.
Yeah, this is worse than the player transfer deadline.
No, but people aren't really that organised.
I'm not aware.
A lot of people buy them this week.
I'm not aware.
Yeah, the promotion this week.
Piss off, Sean. Piss off, Sean, you virtue signaller. That's it, we're done. And as Joel Kane always says...
To the players, if you're going to miss any tackles, this is the week, because $1,000 for every try goes to the Mark Hughes Foundation in round 16. But, of course, if you're having a bet, most importantly, Shawnee, short ball.
Gamble responsibly.